creation versus evolution. The Bible is full of scientific facts, full of historical facts, full of geographical facts. It's full of medical facts, scientific, and geological facts. So many people do not pay attention to the Bible, and they pay attention to their theories so much more. Pet theories. If we just take the Bible and study the Bible, we can learn a lot. Sharon, do you have your Amplified Bible with you today? You have it with you today? All right. Let's look about... Oh, you don't have it. Okay, you have your other Bible, though. Okay, if you look up Genesis, the 17th chapter, is where we are, Genesis 17. And I want you to read from about 13 up to 18, where we're going to start. 13 to 18, we'll start at 19. If you want to come up here and read that for me. 17 and verse 14. All right. If you might come around this way, just slip in there between that little thing and don't stumble over all the cords and things.
All right.
That's a pretty hard job, but maybe you can do it.
Okay, Genesis 17:14. Any uncircumcised male who has not been circumcised in the flesh will be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. And God also said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you are no longer to call her Sarai. Her name will be Sarah, and I will bless her and will surely give you a son by her. And I will bless her so that she will be the mother of nations, kings of peoples, and kings of peoples will come from her. How far did you want me to go?
18. You
okay.
Want to 18.
Abraham fell face down. He laughed and said to himself, will a son be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? And Abraham said to God, if only Ishmael might live under your blessing. And then, that's it.
That's it. Now, what did Abraham want? He didn't want another child, did he?
No, he wanted the blessing for...
He wanted God to bless Ishmael. And Ishmael means God heard. All right? That Ishmael might live. Now, is Abraham a perfect example of faith?
No.
No. Is Abraham like us? So many times, so many ways, he's like us. The Old Testament was given to us mainly for one reason. And there you are. Genesis 17 and verse 18. The Old Testament was given to us to let us understand that we are very imperfect, and so were they, except if we follow the Lord, it's so much easier if we just do what he says. Now, 17 and verse 19, and then we have Abraham arguing with God and telling God, hey, I already have a son. Why don't you just bless him? And in Romans, it tells us that he was the son of the bondwoman. He would have a child of the free woman. Now, he would have more children later on. We know that Abraham was not unfertile. It was Sarah that was the problem. Because when he married Keturah, she had several children. And now we have, that's the father of the Arab races, even though Ishmael was, they always go back to Ishmael, but actually through Keturah, there are probably more Arabs from that family than they are from the other because there were more children. Now, 12 princes would come from Ishmael. All right, we know that God blessed that boy because of Abraham. And we have all the races, Ham, Shem, and Japheth races have the seed of Abraham in us. If you traced your DNA, I'm pretty sure that you would find Abraham way back yonder. We know that possibly even Alexander the Great was part of that lineage, the Greek nations. Now let's go to 17 and verse 19. Wyomer. Elohim Aval. Sarah. Ishtika. Yoledeth. Lika. Ben. Y. Awig. Karata. Et. Shemo. Yichek. Wihaya Mate. Et. Bariti. Ito. Livrith. Olam. Lizaro. Acharo. Now, I want you to conjugate that verb for me there, Christine. The first one in this verse, Wyomer. Oh, you don't have it.
That's all right.
Okay, you can do it, though, I know.
It's third person, masculine, singular, wow, consecutive. No, wow.
Yes, you're right.
Wow, consecutive.
Imperfect.
Oh, where's the imperfect?
Yeah. All right. It's wow, consecutive, and perfect. Okay. So now, Sharon, how will that be translated?
He said and kept on saying.
He said and kept on saying God. All right. Elohim. Tell us about Elohim, Brother Roger.
That's the creator God.
That's the creator God. Everybody has an Elohim. Everybody has been created by God, even the atheists that don't believe that. Everybody has been created by God. The atheist ideas of creation is their God. Evolution is their God, because it takes more faith to believe in evolution than it does in the fact of creation. If you go back and study geology, and you go back and study archaeology, and you go back and you study what we call microbiology, and you go back to the crustaceans period, and you find out that here we are, all of a sudden these things arise. Kaboom. Kaboom, kaboom. They have a sudden creation, a sudden. They did not evolve. These things do not evolve. They were created at a specific period of time. Now we know that in Genesis 1 and 1 it says, in one of the beginnings, literally, Barashith is plural, in one of the beginnings, he had created God, the heavens, and then he put the earth in exactly the right place. Now we know that the earth, as God created it, became formless and void and destroyed. Now your Jewish Publication Society and many of the people's theology says that the earth was in the process of being constructed. It had remained formless and void for a long time, but it didn't remain, it became that way. Now, there's a whole lot of difference. Did God ever create anything in confusion, mass, or imperfect?
No.
That's actually, it is a blasphemous to the character of God in all reality. Now, we know from Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28, that Satan destroyed the original creation of God. And then God rebuilt it and restored it, which we're studying on Wednesday night. Tomorrow night we'll be studying that in Tehachapi. And he said, God of all. That's surely, 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 absolutely, Sarah. What happened? What Hebrew letter did he add to her name, Brother Roger?
Hey.
Which is how much? What letter in the Hebrew alphabet? Chris?
Is it,
I don't know.
It's the fifth letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Five is the number of what, Sharon?
Grace.
Five is the number of grace. So she was going to have a child by grace. The child was going to be had by grace. We know that the princess of Egypt, Hagar, she was Pharaoh's daughter. That was a political marriage. Abraham further insulted Pharaoh by making that princess his wife's handmaiden and slave. What an insult. It's a wonder old Pharaoh didn't just wipe him plumb out, except, you know, he couldn't do it. He put up with it, because this is the man of God. This is a prophet of God. Even though he's a liar, a thief, and a con, and a used car salesman, he's my man. He's my man. And here we find out in the very verse before this, he's trying to talk God into blessing Ishmael instead of having another son. He wanted that boy to be blessed. He loved that boy. And he said, God, surely Sarah, Ishtika, Brother Roger, tell me about what case Ishtika is in. What case? Nominative, genitive, optative, locative, instrumental, dative, accusative, revocative. You got that, Sharon? What case is it in? How about it, Christine?
Is it
nominative? No, not the subject. Ishtika. Ishtika, that cough on the end of it is what says it, isn't it, Brother Roger? That's in what?
It's possessive.
Possessive, which is the genitive case. Okay, see, you got that one now? Ishtika, your wife, wife belonging to you, actually woman belonging to you, and it actually means out of man belonging to you, if you really want to get down and do all the etymology. Yoledeth, she shall bring forth, she shall be bringing forth, all right? She shall be bringing forth, feminine singular cal participle. She shall be bringing forth, she's going to do this. I'm going to renew her womb. I'm going to make her alive again. And she's going to bring forth. Yelad is the root of that. Yelad. See that down there? Yelad, Yod, Lameth, Dalith. That's page 408 in Brown, Driver, and Briggs, and 411 in Kohler and Bumgardner. That's why those little page numbers are down there. Lika. Lika here is a preposition, but it's turned into a pronoun in a way, okay? We have the preposition, and then we have ka on the end of it, lika. What does this say? This pronoun is now, this preposition turns into a pronoun as we translate it, and it becomes what? And what case is this? Okay. For you or for your possession. Okay? A son. Ben. Ben means what, Christine? Ben.
Is it from the house of?
Ben.
Oh. I don't know.
According to a pattern.
Thank
the
you.
Son will be like you. And boy, was he. Oh boy, was he. He was a materialist and a glutton, the boy was. That's what he was, materialist and a glutton. But that's God's man. It's God's man. Do we see the story? Do we relate to this? Wikaderata. And this comes from kara. Do you see that kara? It should be a kara down there someplace. If I didn't put it down there, put it. Kaf, resh, alif, kara. Kara means what? To call. All right? And you shall call him. You shall call him. You shall have called him, literally, is how it is, because this is the second person, Magnus Senior, Cal, Wow, consecutive, perfect. You shall have called him. This is what we call future what, Roger? Future
perfect.
Future perfect. And then we have the sign of the direct object, extension or limitation of thought or verbal action in Greek, according to the Greek preposition ace. Shemo, name, Yitzchak. But what was his real name, Yitzchak's name? What was his real name, the full name? Yitzchak is a shortened form of it.
You said before,
Yitzchakel, God laughed.
Oh.
They laughed, God laughed.
God had the last laugh.
God had a desire. His desire was to bring forth this child. And the word Yitzchak means what? Pleasure. God's pleasure. Was to bring forth.
Why don't we have that EL in it then?
It's in other places.
Oh.
Okay, we'll see that in other places. But that's it. God had pleasure bringing forth this son. God had pleasure changing Abraham's name. God had pleasure changing Sarah's name. God's pleasure is that his son would come into the world through these people. Right here. Except that he wouldn't have that Adam's nature anymore. He's going to be a perfect man. Named him Yitzchak, which means pleasure, laughter, kissing, caressing. That's what the name means. Page 850. Yitzchakel. If you look on there, you'll see it's Yitzchakel. Page 850. Brown, Driver, and Briggs. And Kohler and Baumgartner. Kohler and Baumgartner puts it on page 850. He tells you that his name is really Yitzchakel.
So it's L at the end?
Yeah, L. Aleph and Lameth, which means God. God laughs. And then he says here, Wayamati. Wayamati. And I shall establish and build up, and will have built up, because I wanted to. First person constructs, singular. Hifael, wow, consecutive perfect. I shall have built up, et, the sign of the direct object. Bariti, my covenant. The covenant belonging to me, my, what does covenant mean now?
Cutting.
It means to divide and cut. We divide and cut in a covenant. You make a covenant and you put your half in. But now this covenant is according to God's own word. That's it. My covenant with him. For a covenant, for a cutting, literally. And how long? Olam. Now here we are, where in historically are we? Where are we?
At the end of the Grace Age.
Where? Right here?
Where we are right now?
Abraham.
Oh,
yeah, we're right there in the promise.
Oh,
yeah, right there. Right after the earth was divided and all that stuff, get this in your mind. The reason why I put this chart up here for the last 45 years is so you can understand what period of time we're talking about. Okay? We're talking about this period of time here. The promise is Abraham. The promise is to Abraham. But how long is this promise going to go? Whew. All the way over. All the way over into eternity future. That covenant is going to last. It is going to be fulfilled where in space and time? Two times it was fulfilled. Two times it was fulfilled.
Are you talking about the Abrahamic covenant?
Yeah. When was the first part of the fulfillment of the Abrahamic covenant? When there was the first part?
When the son was born.
When Jesus was born, the King of the Jews. Okay. That is the son of David, the King of the Jews. Now, this is the first time it was fulfilled. But it's not completely fulfilled until when? Brother Roger? Until the son of David, or David, sets on the throne of Israel in the land of Palestine.
But isn't that the Davidic covenant?
That's the fulfillment of the Davidic and the Abrahamic covenant. The Davidic covenant is sets upon and rests upon the Abrahamic covenant, doesn't it? Does it or not?
Yeah, so but I thought the Abrahamic covenant was the blessing generations and all the kids and...
But Abraham's son would bring forth... Abraham would bring forth the Messiah, wouldn't he? Would he not?
Okay.
Yes. So the first part of the fulfillment of that was the cross of Calvary, which was when Jesus was born, and then the cross of Calvary. And through that son, we would have eternal life. And then the second part of the fulfillment of that is the Davidic covenant, which is based upon the Abrahamic covenant, the same guys. And David will sit on the throne of Israel upon the earth, epites geis, upon this land, upon the land. So that's the other part of that fulfillment. And this is where it begins, right back here. For olam, forever, eistonion in the Greek language. And then lizarau. Li, on the front of this here, it means what, Brother Roger? Li. Lameth.
It's prophesied.
It's a preposition. All right? And it says, to or according to. Kata would be the best Greek translation of this, to tell you the truth. Lamet, if you took it over in Greek, it would be kata, according to your seed. Your seed. Now, his seed hadn't gone into Sarah yet, had it? Not this one that was going to bring forth, but his seed would. That one sperm cell would, and this is a science now. Science. Science. This is scientific fact. Now, Muhammad, he believed the reproduction. He talked about reproduction. And Muhammad said that that a woman secreted fluid in her vaginal area from her breast. Now, is that a scientific fact? No. That doesn't come from your breast, but he said that's what it, where it came from. And that a man, that his semen came from his spinal cord. Now, is that a fact? No. It just, it's back there someplace, but that isn't where it comes from. It doesn't come from your spinal cord. It's not spinal fluid. You know, they killed and cut up a lot of people, and when you cut a man and shoot him up, you find out that they have spinal fluid in the cord, and it kind of looks like the color of sperm. So we say, oh, there's where it comes from. But that's not a scientific fact. The Bible is not going to go contrary to science. So we know that according to his seed, that zera, that sperma, that Abraham would implant into Sarah, would take root in her, and it would yielid, and she would bring forth this child, and this child would live, and this child would be the father of the nations that would carry the name of God. After his seed, his sperm, and then it says, acharo. And acharo means what? Following him, literally. If you want to write that down, it means following him. After him, but it means to follow after. It has the idea of time, to follow after. It's like an adverb of time in some ways. Now let's go to 17 and verse 20. Are you learning a little bit? Yulishmael. Shamatika. Hene. Barakti. Ota. We hip for Rathi. Oto. We hear Betty, Otho, Bimod, Miod, Sharim, Asher, Nasim, Yalid, Unitatiu, Lego, Gadol. Here we have a complicated compound word, don't we? Right on the very front of that, we have what? A wow. And that wow is what kind of part of speech? Chris, do you know what kind of part of speech that is? It's like chi in Greek.
Is it a conjunction?
In a conjunction. All right, chi would be the conjunction. And then we have a preposition, lamet. And then we have Yishmael. Yishmael. And to Ishmael, which means God hears, Shematika, I have heard you. Okay, now, the word comes from Shemo, and it's on page 1033, Brown, Driver, and Briggs, and on page 1570 in Kohler and Baumgartner. I have heard you. First person, construct, singular, cal, what? Perfect. Perfect tense. I have heard you. Hene. Hene is an exclamation. It says, behold. Behold. Barik. Barakti. 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 I shall intensely bless you. I shall intensely or I shall have intensely blessed you, is how it should be translated, because what it is. First person, construct, singular, PL, perfect. I shall have intensely blessed you, or blessed him. That is, oto, him. And let's look at this. We hifarati. And I shall make fruitful. I shall have made fruitful. First person construct singular. Hifel, wow, consecutive, perfect. Now I'm reading these page numbers for you so you'll know where they come from. If you look on page 826 in Brown, Driver, and Briggs, you'll find the root of this word. And if you look on page 963 in Kohler and Baumgartner, which is a two-volume lexicon, Hebrew lexicon, you'll find it there. Now, I shall make fruitful. Pera is the peri, pera is this, which means to bring forth fruit. All right? I shall have made fruitful, ota, him. We harbethi. And I shall have multiplied. I shall have multiplied. Tell me about that word there, Sharon.
Well, I shall have, that would be a future perfect.
Uh-huh.
So it's first.
First person. Construct.
Construct.
Singular.
Singular.
Hifel.
Which means.
Well, yeah.
With power.
Well, with power, but it's a personal thing, because
yeah,
I want to.
Because I want to. Okay.
Yeah.
And then while consecutive perfect,
and then ota, him. Bemode. That means what? Mode means a lot, exceedingly. But what's on the front of that, Brother Roger?
Preposition.
Hebrew preposition. In exceedingly. Meode. Exceedingly. All right? Now, in your translations, it won't say that, but that's what it says. In exceedingly. Much. All right? Much. Mucho. A lot. Much. Shanim. Much what? 2 10. 2 10. 12 princes. Princes. Nesim. What does Nesim? What does this Nesim, the seam, come from? What's that mean? It comes from Seir. What does Seir mean? That means to fight and contend. They're going to be fighting princes. They're going to be warring princes. But they're going to be princes. They're going to be warrior princes. Yolid. He shall keep on begetting. He shall keep on procreating. Yolid. He shall keep on procreating. Third person masculine, singular, hifel, imperfect. He shall keep on doing this. And then it was unitatito. And I shall make for him. You don't have your deal there. All right. 1720, that unitatio. No.
First person. What's the C?
Construct.
Oh, construct singular?
Uh-huh.
Cowell, consecutive perfect.
Yep.
What does that mean?
I shall have made him. I shall establish him. And the suffix in that one is third person masculine singular on that.
Because it's a future.
Future event. He talks about it as future perfect. I shall have made him lego, for a people, for a nation. Gadol. Gadol means, again, great and mighty, much.
So,
now that's...
Are there scholars that have written up who these 12 princes turned out to be?
Absolutely. Yeah, we could go into them and we could look at all that. I did one time, and we're not finished with that. We're going to look at that. We're going to see
and
all.
The genealogy is in there.
Yeah, we see the genealogy of these. We're going to look at that genealogy, and we're going to find out all of those people that came from him, okay? I don't think I've got it in this. Got some of it here, but not all of that. We'll go into that next week or the week after, whenever we get to it. We're going to look at the children of Ishmael. 1721. Do you have any questions so far? 1721. Some of your Bibles, some of your study Bibles. Brother Roger, do you have a study Bible that gives all the names of them? Do you have one?
Let me look and see.
You don't have it? I have it in my records here. You don't have it.
Yeah, and at this time, Ishmael is like, what, 12 or something?
Yeah, he's not a very old boy.
Yeah, I mean, he's, yeah.
Yeah.
God already says you can have 12
children. Yeah, he's going to have 12 children. Right now, he's going to have 12 children.
But that's not counting Ishmael.
That's counting Ishmael. Ishmael's going to have 12 sons.
Ishmael's
going to have 12 sons. He's going to have 12 princes. They're going to be 12 warrior kings. Okay? Ishmael.
Okay.
Ishmael's going to have 12 warrior kings. And we will get into that. Actually, it names them later on in the Bible here. And then 1721, do you have anything else? We'll look at that. We'll go back and I'll get my resource material and I'll get that to you. I have others in here, but I don't have this one. I had one of my students when I was teaching what we call Western civilization. He brought his final report for the year on the genealogies of these Bible characters, and Ishmael was one of them. He showed all the people and Keturah, and he showed where the American Indians came from and all of that. I mean, everything, what they contributed to the world. Even before they did that Indian Giver's book, or before they did 1491, or any of these books, he had the information. He was really a scholar. Jeff Church was his name. Jeff Church. Great student. He used to make me mad when he would come into my class. He would come in there with one ear with a headphone on listening to a tape, reading a book contrary to what I was teaching. And then I would see this, and it makes you a little bit upset when somebody's not paying attention to you if you're a professor, you know. Anyway, I'd ask him a lot of questions. I found out that boy was doing all three things at once. And he knew exactly what I was saying, and he had it all down. He was taking notes. Now, a lot of times when I go to church, I'll be studying what I'm studying and writing notes on something else and writing notes on the sermon that this preacher's preaching. I'm not quite as good as Jeff was. I don't have an earphone on because I don't only hear out of one ear anyway. So I couldn't do what Jeff did.
I have a son that does that, and it irritates even a parent.
Which one is that?
Tobin.
Because
no. You don't think they're listening, and then you'll ask them, and they'll go... And
just
like,
right there. Oh. Well, good. That's good.
It is good. But
that's good. They can divide their attention
and
know what's going on. Okay, 1721. Wiet. Bariti. Akuim. Et. Yitchak. Yashur. Teled. Lika. Sarah. Lemoed. Hazeh. Because there's two Z's in that word, okay? Because we got a dogish in the middle of that. All right. Bash Shina. Ha Achareth. And that's we et there, but the et we don't translate. That's just the idea, extension, limitation, the thought, or verbal action. It's action going this way. All it says is there's action going that way. And sign of direct object. Bariti. My covenant belonging to me, the what? The cutting belonging to me. What is the Greek term for that? Who can do that? You get an A+ if you do for today. Come on, what is the new? The New Testament is called what? Hey. Hey diakine. All right? Hey diatheke, that is. Hey diatheke. Hey kine diatheke. The new covenant. Hey kine. The kine new. The diatheke. The new covenant. Hey kine diatheke. Diatheke means also a cutting, a dividing. Yes.
Now when he says, because he uses the word my covenant here, and he uses it my covenant earlier too.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I know that these are unconditional covenants. These
yes, they are.
To do with that. So is that why he uses
who possesses God? It? Who possesses it?
God.
Okay, what case is it in, Brother Roger? Genitive case. My covenant.
So
not
is
your.
That, so is that
my
why
covenant.
He says
yes, my covenant.
Because there's no.
That's what you call an unconditional covenant.
Yeah, it's not
unconditional covenant. Okay, that's like salvation, an unconditional covenant.
Okay.
Unconditional covenant. Hakim. And this is the word comes from Kolm. And I shall keep on making strong. First person construct singular. Hefel imperfect. I shall keep on making him strong with Isaac. Or literally Isaac. That's Yitzchak. Whom? Asher whom? Or which? Taled. She shall bear. She shall keep on bearing. She's not going to get pregnant and die. It's not going to become an abortion. It's not going to become, what is the other word?
Miscarriage.
Not going to be a miscarriage. Not going to be an abortion. And she shall keep on bearing. And do that one for me, Roger. Conjugate that verb. Oh, you don't have it, do you? Okay. Third person, feminine, singular, cal, imperfect. Okay? Lika, for you. For you. For your benefit. Sarah. Li moed. To a season. In year, literally. Bashashina, in year. See that dogish in the middle of that shin there? That makes it double. Bashashina.
What's the double mean? What does that mean?
It doubles it. It makes two S's.
Oh.
Two SH's. Shishi.
Okay.
All right. Bashashina. Without that, it would be Bashashina. But it's Bashashina. Because it makes it double. That dogish there doubles that shin. In year. I have the down there, but mark that the out. Because we don't have a definite article there, does it? In what year? Within the year. Within 12 months, this is going to happen. How long does a child...
Gestation
period?
9 months.
About 9 months. So within that year, within this year, she's going to have... Within that, the year, the next. Ha-a-chari, the next. The near. Within the year, the near. 1722. Waikal, lelabar, ito, waya'al, Elohim, mi'al, Abraham. Okay. Now his name was changed from Abram to Abraham, wasn't it? And you have to roll that resh there. Abraham. Abram, Abraham. Now it says, and third person masculine singular PL while consecutive and perfect. How shall we translate this word? And ended up completed. And he ended up completed to speak. He finished to talk. Now, that sounds a little rough, but that's what it says. He finished to talk, and that is powerful in that PL stem. He was speaking very positively and powerfully. To speak, la dabar. Here we have the word, we have the bar turned into a verb here. The var turns into a verb. That word is word. Let's lego, logos, or logos turns into lego, doesn't it? So we have the bar here turning in to le the bar. And here, that le on the, that lament on the front of it turns it into a what, Brother Roger?
Lament is a preposition.
But here it does not, it's not a preposition. It turns it into a infinitive. All right? To speak. To speak. Ito, with him. And he ascended. He ascended. And kept on ascending God from him. Abraham. God, what did he went up?
So he was standing, speaking face
to face. Yeah, face to face. Now he goes up. Go back to where he lives. In the heavens. So God did it. Who was here talking face to face with Abraham? The pre-incarnate Christ of the Bible of the New Testament. And where is that fulfilled? John what? 1:14, Kai Logos Sarx Agenito, and the Word, the Jehovah fleshy became, and dwelt
so
among us.
All in these pre-incarnate times that Christ comes down,
yes.
There's quite a few.
Yes, so we have a yeah. quite a few of what
so,
we call...
Oh, sorry, so... I mean, how do people, like, how do they know that's who they're talking to? Because some of them, they didn't realize that's who it was.
No, they
but
didn't.
But here, he obviously knows that's who he's talking to.
Who did Jacob wrestle with?
The
Jesus.
Christ.
Jesus.
Yeah.
All right. Who did Jacob, who appeared to Jacob? Jesus.
Right.
All right. Who appeared to Moses?
Mm-hmm.
Jesus. All right.
But is it something that...
This is what we call a pre-incarnate, before flesh. Now, he stood. God made man in his what?
In his
shadow casting likeness. His what?
Blood flowing likeness.
And in his
sovereign
likeness. Good. That's A plus, see. In his shadow casting likeness, did God cast a shadow before he became flesh?
Mm-hmm.
Because he made man in his image, didn't he, in his shadow casting likeness. And this is what we call pre-incarnate Christ, and God has no problem with that. We do.
Mm-hmm.
You get the Jehovah Witnesses, they got a lot of problem with this because they don't believe that Jesus is Jehovah.
Right.
But Jesus is Jehovah. He is the one that appeared to Moses and appeared to Adam and appeared to Abraham, the pre-incarnate Christ.
So did he have a body?
He had a form, yes. A pre-incarnate. What does pre-incarnate mean?
Before flesh.
Before the act of being in flesh. But he had. Now, in Luke the 16th chapter, we have Lazarus there. And Lazarus has form and they understand who he is, don't they? Your soul has form. I can't understand this, but you can tell each other's souls. We can see each other. We visit your souls. When we leave this world, we leave our bodies behind, that tent, that tabernacle. We put it in what we call a hope chest, a casket, most sometimes. And we go on, but we have form there. Luke, the 16th chapter, says that Dives, or the rich man, recognized Lazarus, didn't he? And that he thirsted, he was in pain, he heard, he saw. So somehow, the soul is very much related to the flesh. I don't understand that at all. All I can tell you that it is. It's a fact.
Well, when someone dies, their body doesn't look the same.
No.
It doesn't matter.
Well, look at their eyes.
They don't look the same.
The way people tell you
yeah.
is you look at the eyes. There is life in a live person's eyes. When they die, it's gone.
Well, doesn't the Bible say that that's the window to your soul?
Yeah, it's the life.
Yeah.
the blood quits flowing, doesn't it? And you die. And the eyes go out. The eyes go out. You've seen that many times, I'm sure, Brother Archer. If you ever had animals, you saw the light go out. The souls leave them. If you saw loved ones, you kissed them goodbye. Their souls are gone. I remember in the second making of Rooster Cogburn, the girl there, Maddie Ross. She goes in there and her father is laying there in a casket. And he said, "Is this your father? Or is this the man?" And she said, "He's my father. That's my father." And he said, "You may kiss him." And he kept saying, "You may kiss him if you want. You may kiss him." He said, the spirit has flown. The soul has flown. He's not there. Mm-hmm. We look at that and we see that the house of the soul, the tabernacle of the soul, it was that we knew for so many years as that person. But that's only one third of that person. His soul and spirit is there also. The soul and the spirit.
So somehow their interaction with
yes, and they have form.
Just knew.
Yes. There he is. They saw him. Mm-hmm. Okay? They might not have always known who he was, but they saw him. All right, 17 and verse number 23, and that's as far as we'll go today. Wayikah Abraham et Yishmael bino wiet. Call Yelidi. Betol Wiet. Call Mignoth. Now you can add this little bit of explanation there. I didn't write it in there, so you can add the T's and THs and stuff if you want to, because they're there. Beethol Wiet. Call Mignoth. Kosfo. Call Zakar, Bianchi, Biet, Abram, Abraham that is, Vayamol, Et, Basar, Ari Latham, Biet Sima, and we have to go over to the next page, Hayom, Haze, Kaashur, Deber, Eto Elohim. And he took and kept on taking Abraham et Ishmael, his son, and all issue, all of his children, all of his issue of his house. Abraham had people that were born in his house. He had a lot of warriors in that place. Abraham was a general. He was a president of this Abrahamic group. And all the ones that were born in his house and all that he had purchased, all the ones he had purchased, Mignoth, he had purchased with silver, Kasfar, with silver belonging to him. And all the male in men, his house of Abraham, and he cut around. He unpointed them, literally. And he unpointed them, third person, masculine, singular, cal, wow, consecutive, and perfect. The word circumcised, the word uncircumcised literally means pointed penis, is what it says. Because the skin is there and it comes to a point. And when they circumcised, they cut that foreskin off. And blunt it. Okay? That's literally what it says in Hebrew. That's it. It may be a little...
Circumcised in Hebrew is blunt.
It means to cut. It means a cutting. It means to cut away that pointed part. Okay. When they're uncircumcised, they're pointed penises is exactly what it calls them. Mm-hmm. They're pointed.
Right.
And they blunt that skin off. And now we find out scientifically and medically what? It's really good for you. It's good for the man. It's good for the woman. Mm-hmm. What does it do for the woman?
Well, possibly it's linked to cancer.
It is definitely linked to cancer. Women that have uncircumcised husbands have cervical cancer more often than women that do not. Mm-hmm. So was God doing anything bad here or good? Was it? Did he foresee things. I mean, he knows science. He knows medicine. Okay? They even, and now there's a whole group of people out there that are God haters, really, and anti-Semitic, that don't circumcise your boys.
Oh, yeah, you're mutilating them.
You're mutilating them by circumcising them. But we know that it is medically good for them.
So then, you know, on their side of this argument, they would say, well, they were born that way, so why would you change it?
Yeah.
But the purpose of God allowing them to be born that way was for this covenant.
That very covenant. That's for that very
covenant.
No, they don't believe it, but God foresaw and he did this. Now, we're men are circumcised today. Most men are circumcised. Some of them aren't, but most women are circumcised. Men are, that is. And it's healthier for them. They don't have as much problems. Hayom, the day, the this, just as, ka'ashur, just as, he had spoken, third person master senior, PL, perfect, he had spoken with him, who? God. So God was there, wasn't he? God was there.
So it looks like Abraham personally circumcised everybody?
Evidently he did. I guess maybe he circumcised himself too. All right, he did it. And probably with a flint knife.
Uh-huh.
Now, flint is a very, very, it's a very good material. It's molten glass made from sand, okay? And the sharpest objects in the world are made from flint. Did you know that? Sharpest offering. They make some scalpels when they're doing certain intricate surgery from flint. Did you know that? Yeah, they do. Ask your daughter. I think she will know that. They make some, or did make some very, very intricate scalpels from flint or obsidian. Do you have any other questions here so far? And we went from where to where? 17, 15 or 17,
yeah.
17:15 through 23. You have any other questions concerning this? Anywhere? Anything about this? Do you see how medical science...
What is this under on the website?
This is under creation versus evolution. It's under the creation series, creation from the Hebrew text, but it's creation versus evolution. Have we been debating evolution to some extent during our class?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right, even false premises, we have been debating on this. We'll go a little bit further. Now, Abraham was 99 years old here. Okay, 99 years old.
Well, his hand didn't shake.
Mm-hmm. I had a convert. I can't remember. He was 95 or 96 years old when I led him to the Lord, and he was converted. And I baptized him, and he joined the church. His name was Jennings. He had a 1950 Lincoln Continental that he bought when he retired.
Mm-hmm.
And this was 1970-something. Brother Ray remembers him. Very interesting man. Very interesting man. Any other questions? Any questions? Have you ever known somebody that old to become a father? You look at some of the movie stars.
Yeah.
Jack Lemmon. What was his name? Jack Lemmon? He married a very young girl.
Yeah,
in his 70s, 80s. I mean, it's not physically impossible. But Abraham was a very virile man. He was what we call fertile, because we know later on we'll get into when he married Keturah. All right? He still was having children. But Sarah, that was a miracle, wasn't it? She was beyond childbearing. She was beyond what we call she had gone through the change of life already.
Now, when in this period of history, how long did these people live for normally?
Well, they were living over 100 years, many of them, we find out, still here. But as it comes closer and closer and closer, here we are here. Mm-hmm. How long did Moses live? How long did Moses live? He lived 340s. 120 years. Remember that? How old was Moses' mother when she had her first child?
137.
128 years old, I think. Okay. Because she was the aunt of his father. So his mother was his aunt also. His mother was his great-great-aunt. All right? His great-aunt. Now, that was a miracle too, wasn't it? We don't see this, but you find this. And where do you find this information, how old she actually was? In a history book, a historical book called the Book of Jasher. Okay? And that's where it's found. The information on the names of the women in the Bible. Noah's wife was a whole lot older than him. She was like 150 years older than he was. Mm-hmm. Now, before the flood, this is when you really, really, really have long-lived people. Mm-hmm. And this was before the division of the earth and the separation of the continents and the ocean and the skies, which were filtering all that sunlight and everything. And the house was a greenhouse. They didn't need to water the gardens or anything. It mist came up. It was not cold winters or anything like we see today. It was a different world. Mm-hmm. Okay? And after that change in time and atmosphere, mankind became shorter and shorter lived.
So yeah. Why did they say the greenhouse effect is bad? Because it was a greenhouse, when it was really a greenhouse.
But it's not the same greenhouse. Yeah. That's a different term.
Okay.
A greenhouse is an enclosed structure where it holds in the heat. So you all winter long you can grow plants. Mm-hmm. But when you have the earth like that, you got problems. Okay? Because first of all, the sunlight is not filtered. Okay? And it gets very hot and it produces deserts. And you can't do that. A greenhouse is a controlled experiment. But when you use the word greenhouse effect, we're not talking about the same greenhouses we had in the Adamic to Noahic times. Mm-hmm. That's a good question. Anything else? Brother Roger, you got a question? Mm-hmm. All right. Brother, you want to dismiss this in prayer?